Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of the Chapter by Chapter podcast for Children of Dune. I am your host, Will.
And I am Steve, and we are here to talk about Chapter 34 of the Children of Dune.
Chapter 34!
Calm down.
Yeah! This is like the best number ever! You got a favorite number?
13, because it's my dad's birthday. Everyone says it's unlucky, but then I was like, my papa was born on that day, everyone.
My papa.
So 13 for me. Why 34 for you?
Yeah. No, I was just saying. I was just making conversation. Let's dive into the chapter introduction.
Just lies. Just lies.
I bamboozled
more you. Lies.
Do you want me to take care of this one? You want to take this one? It's relatively
What's
short.
That, the chapter introduction? You can do it.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. I believe you can do it. I believe in you.
The one-eyed view of our universe says you must not look far afield for problems.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Such problems may never arrive. Instead, tend to the wolf within your fences. The packs ranging outside may not even exist. The Azhar book, Shamra. 1-4.
This means deal with your own mental health, right? Don't try to intervene in other people's. It's not going to work. It's probably not, honestly, it's probably not even going to work when you deal with your own, but you still got to try.
Right. And I think it's kind of like Frankie H's way of going, like, don't take your problems to other people either. Like, anything you got to deal with, keep it in-house, all right? Deal with internally.
He's saying everyone's got problems, man. Everyone's got problems. You got your own problems way more than most people. Deal with them. Okay?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've got
I feel like this whole
amount of problems.
This whole book is about everyone's just got problems and everyone's coming to someone else to try to lie to them about their problems and fix another problem by marrying somebody to their sister, which creates another problem.
Speaking of which, that's kind of like it is kind of the essence of this chapter here, where we have Duncan and Jessica go like spitting bars at each other.
Yeah, it's like a rap battle.
Yeah. But I feel like Duncan, by the end of this, I feel like Duncan's got another. He's got an ace in his sleeve. Like, yeah, he's rap battling right now, but the real rap battle is coming later.
Well, it turns out
the climax.
He can beatbox, and no one saw that coming.
Yeah. Nobody saw that coming. That's a Tele Laksu like upgrade. You have to spend extra for the beatbox program.
Oh yeah, and that ain't cheap.
No. It's like 6 billion salaries.
Salamis?
Because like you have to think about it. Yeah. It's their coinage, right? Currency? That's the right term I'm looking for. Coinage.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to say salami.
So, all right. What we got here? I'm gonna be honest with you. I kind of have an idea of what's going on in this chapter.
Don't be honest. Nope. Don't
right,
be
I,
honest.
I know exactly what's going on here. I know exactly.
Perfect.
All right. All right. We got Jessica.
Well, there is a lot to track because we have Jessica, we have Faridin, we have Duncan. Right. I mean, it's a lot of Jessica and Duncan.
It's a lot of Jessica and Duncan. Faridin is off screen. Like, he might be listening to this conversation, but he might not be. Like, Jessica is like cognizant of the fact that he might be listening, but you're right. Yeah, he's definitely listening. He's been watching everybody on like CCTV for like weeks now.
Yeah,
did
I think
I
we all
ever
know.
Tell you, like, when I was a kid, we got security cameras like installed around our house, and I knew the channel that all the security cameras were on my TV. And I would spend hours just watching the security footage.
Hmm. Did anything ever happen?
No, nothing ever did. People just went to work. People came home from work. People stood around their yard. People are boring, man.
Yeah. Okay. Any wildlife? Squirrels?
Yeah, squirrels. I saw a skunk like maybe once or twice, but that's nothing crazy. I don't know.
I see skunks all over my neighborhood. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, skunks are very common in this city. Same with, deer and
rats.
Rats are becoming a strange growing problem lately.
As
of 2024. I wonder if anybody's had a hand in it.
Or maybe a little rat paw. I don't know.
Right. So what does this conversation like entail here? I think what's happened, like there's part of Frankie H's like almost breaking the fourth wall sort of overview of how the universe is doing. And he lays it out on the table of like, what if the Atreides are actually the real problem here? And the problem that Duncan is coming to Jessica with is this realization, which is crazy that this is just kind of like he's coming to this now, but he's come to this realization where the Atreides have become no better than the Harkonnens in a lot of ways, and that has to do mm-hmm. with how Paul has set up the empire after he left, and then how Aaliyah has morphed that empire to be something else entirely. So like he's been dealing, like there's a line in here where he talks about like, I've seen more men in the Arrakeen dungeons than I've seen in my entire life. I'm paraphrasing and butchering, but that's essentially like the idea here. It's like, we are no better than the guys that we were fighting in book one, Jessica. So like, what
from
are we doing?
From a certain
like,
point of view.
Yeah. From a certain point of view, of course, right? Like if you're looking at it broad, like you pull back, all right, see the big picture, this could be a good thing, you know? You have Duncan coming to Jessica, like blaming her, which I think is kind of ridiculous, but that's why I'm saying that he might have another ace up his sleeve here, because it's hilarious to me if he's like legit with these concerns. It's hilarious to me for him to come and talk about all this stuff now after being a part of this for God knows how long, like since the kids were very, very young, like when they were born.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Duncan. I'm with you in that I would like to believe that there's something else going on here, because he's kind of acting like a big old dum-dum. It has been for a while. And I don't like to think of Duncan like that. So exactly. I'm with you. Hopefully there's something else that he's going to pull out here, or this is all part of his plan. But I don't know if it is, actually. Who knows? We'll see.
We'll see. Another piece of this puzzle that he throws at Jessica here is he starts talking about the Fremen and how the Fremen curse the Atreides name. Like a lot of the Fremen really hate the Atreides and what the Atreides have done to them as a culture, as a people.
It's understandable. It is.
It's understandable. But I do want to read the passage of the curse, because the curse is like it like if you put a beat underneath it, man, that he's spitting bars, bro.
Okay, right. I'm glad you got the curse. I was thinking I wanted to get the curse. Let's hear the curse. Curse me.
All right. Burning be on you, Atreides. You shall have no souls, nor spirits, nor bodies, nor shades, nor magic, nor bones, nor hair, nor utterances, nor words. You shall have no grave, nor house, nor hole, nor tomb. You shall have no garden, nor tree, nor bush. You
no
shall
bush.
Have no water, nor bread, nor light, nor fire. It's the nor that keeps on screwing me up here. You shall have no water, nor bread, nor light or fire. I already said that. You shall have no children, nor family, nor heirs, nor tribe. You shall have no head, no arms, nor legs, nor gate, nor seed. Ooh, no seed.
Okay.
You shall have no seats on any planet. That's right. No chairs. Your souls shall not be permitted to come up from the depths, and they shall never be among those permitted to live upon earth. On no day shall you behold Shai-Hulud, but you shall be bound and fettered in the nethermost abomination, and your soul shall never enter into the glorious light forever and ever and ever. It's funny to me that he drops this, but I guess he's bringing his point around. Like, the Atreides are completely different than what he thought they would be. But to Jessica's point, I think during this time, Jessica's thinking about this. She's like, in a lot of ways, Duncan is nothing like who he was. So really, we're all just cosplaying as ourselves by not being ourselves. Really just like mangled forms of skin lumped together with sand.
This is what I've been saying about everyone for a long time.
And I hear you. So
everyone's just cosplaying as just in their, everyone's just wearing some sort of monkey suit. Even me, right? Yeah. We're all monkeys.
Do you think Jessica here is aware of the game that's being played? Like maybe not so much during the chapter. Maybe she's still like got the blinders on, but I feel like what Duncan is doing is because Faridin is listening, he wants to show, he's trying to trick Faridin into thinking that, I don't know. Because ultimately when at the end here, Duncan like resigns, he resigns his service to the Atreides and joins Faridin. But what would that necessarily accomplish for Duncan or for Jessica if Duncan was involved? I mean, in a way, now that I'm thinking about this out loud, it would probably give Duncan more power to do, to maybe to protect Jessica and in future consequences that are coming up. Because if he's
could
allowed,
be that, moving himself into a stronger seat of power here with the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he even goes as far as saying, like, as soon as I'm like signed up, as soon as I get my onboarding process done with House Carino, I'm sending your ass to Wallach, which could be a play to protect her or to throw up a smoke screen though, so that she's looking, it's like he's zigging when she's zagging. You know what I mean?
Is Wallach a new planet? Have we heard of Wallach before?
We've heard of Wallach. Wallach 9 is the planet where the Bene Gesserit are trained.
Okay.
Yeah. And that also is like where Duncan even goes as far as saying, like, I don't think you've even been loyal to the Atreides since the very beginning. You've been working for the Bene Gesserit. You've been a Bene Gesserit pawn, and I don't trust you. But like I said, there's double meaning in here. And then they're pontificating, like, what happens if Ghanima and Faridin get married? And would Aaliyah actually allow that to happen? Like, Aaliyah has enough power on Arrakis and in the Imperium to just marry Faridin herself and consolidate power that way. But at the same time, how much power does House Carino actually have to offer the Atreides other than, like, Sardaukar forces?
I don't think Aaliyah would allow it. I don't think Aaliyah would allow it. Plus, it changes things, and Faridin would need to live on Arrakis, and that brings Sardaukar with him, and then it's the Fremen and Sardaukar, and we all know that they don't mix. It's like water and oil. It's that old adage.
Not fun. Well, I mean, the Fremen are busy, you know, fighting amongst themselves right now, trying to figure out who's the real Messiah.
It's got to be someone. I mean, it's got to be one of these guys.
You know what? These guys are ripe for the picking. If they could just get, you know, something almost worm-like, but not quite.
Yeah, I don't know if we could just put a face onto a worm.
I think that's gonna.
The technology's not there yet.
I don't know. We haven't had that real cast. The CGI isn't up there. AI isn't really helping. We burned that all away centuries and centuries and centuries ago. So
we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll just have to see. But, and then at the same time, I don't know. Like, there's so many like phrases and turn of phrases here that, like, literally it means one thing, but figuratively it could mean like six or seven different things. And maybe I'm overthinking
which I think is the whole point. I think is the whole point of why Frank Herbert wrote it this way, and because it's a game inside a game inside a game is what's happening right now, and that's everyone's playing their own, and I think he wants us to even be playing our own. I think he's playing one too with me. So there's a lot of levels going on. I think we're like 5, maybe 6D chess going on here.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think Frankie H has ever worked in like public office? Politics.
I mean, we could look it up, right?
We could. He was a reporter, so I'm confident in the fact that he probably is wise to the game. And being a journalist, like, there's some political maneuvers you have to know to be successful in that field.
I don't think he was ever a politician.
Damn.
From a quick Google,
probably
search.
A good thing. Probably a good thing, because all the leaders that he's had in this book series, if that's a sign of his leadership style, there would be a lot of dead people in his wake. But lots of drugs to go around. So
win-win. 50.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the end here, like I said, Duncan renounces his service. And then there's a line here, and this is the piece that, like, really not confuses, but is the kernel of doubt that makes me think that this whole chapter has been almost like a bamboozling in some way. He says, he thinks to himself, it's done, and they can read it in only one way. So what is that one way? I think the one way would be Duncan's leaving the Atreides service. Jessica's pissed at Duncan.
Yeah.
Duncan wants Jessica to go to Wallach. So the only way to read this from an outsider perspective is that they are at odds together. And it seems like Jessica is more or less in the dark about what's going on. And she's using her Bene Gesserit mind-reading powers to see if anything that Duncan's doing could be revealed as a lie. But as she's doing these scans, it's just not the case. Or Duncan's just so trained that he knows what the ticks are. He knows how to, like, maneuver those things, which is crazy.
I think it's that he's maneuvering.
Yeah.
I think this is all Duncan's. This is all Duncan's big day out. Duncan's, what's that movie? Duncan's Quest.
I like Duncan's Big Day Out. That's a good one. Adventures in Duncanhood.
There's an actual movie with a monkey that I'm trying to think of.
Mighty Joe Young?
No, it's called Dunstan Checks In. Close enough. Duncan Checks In.
That's cool. What's the movie about?
A monkey. A monkey and a little boy.
Ah, well, there it is. Well, if you haven't seen Mighty Joe Young, that is a movie.
Yep. It sure is. It's about an ape.
Now, do you want to talk economy for a second here? Because there is a mention of Chome Charity, or not, I call it Chome Charity because of the fucking board game, but there is a mention of Chome in this chapter and how the Carino family sold all its shares to the Atreides. So just making like any sort of wealth.
Probably not a good move.
They got crypto bro'd.
Yeah.
Like hard.
Yeah.
Like, what happened here is Paul came to him with an NFT, with a picture of a worm wearing Yeezus clothing.
He's wearing those new Donald Trump sneakers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bought it for all the money they got. And they thought it was going to go up. Next thing you know, no. Trade's old. All of your assets. Sorry, suckers. Here's a small prison planet that you guys can just hang out in. That being said, this chapter does talk about, like, I believe it's been said multiple times that the House Carino and Castle Carino are on Seleucus Secundus. And we've seen what Seleucus Secundus looks like in the
movie
Dune Part 1. And it's a hellscape. But this chapter makes it seem kind of serene and nice. So maybe there's some nice places on Seleucus Secundus. Maybe there's some nice places on Giedi Prime. You know, where, like, you know, it's like Cuba. You know, you got the Baron Harkonnen. He goes down there. He doesn't tan, but he sits in the shade and sweats. Probably was a big fan of sweating.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's dead now, except that he lives inside of a girl's mind.
Of course. And he gets punished from that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's everything worth talking about for this chapter.
All right. I do think Duncan's got some plan going on, that Duncan's the one really pulling the strings here. Which maybe means that Aaliyah's actually pulling the strings. But I don't think so. I don't know.
Or it could be Preacher. Preacher could be doing everything behind
the scenes. I feel like we're going to find out that the Preacher has been pulling every possible string in this book, except for maybe Leto. But I don't know, because Leto's pulling back, so... I don't know. But thank you for listening to today's chapter. Hope you all have a great rest of your day, wherever you are out there. Check us out on the social medias at Chapter by Chapter Podcast, and we will see you back here tomorrow for Chapter 35 of The Children of Dune. As always, I would like to give a gigantic thank you to our executive producers, those who support the show on Patreon at the highest level, or sometimes even higher. Big Cheese Daddy, Hilder, and Acorn. Thank you so much for supporting the show and for your continued support. If you too would like to join them, you can head on over to patreon.com/chapterbychapterpodcast.